I've had several different guests on talking about many, many different topics. I try to cover everything because I think there's answers in so many different things. And I was just going through the internet by coincidence, because everything is, really, isn't it? And I happened to come across a site I thought was pretty interesting, Healing Radiance. And the woman who is the host of that, her name is Inga. And I thought, maybe she'll talk to me. She's out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And I really liked what she had to say about, you know, not so much even just finding out about our past life, but how it can help clear us to maybe have more things come forward. And many, many, many more things. So the more I read about her website, the more I was impressed by what I read. And it seemed pretty genuine. So with me now from New Orleans, where it's probably really cold compared to where I'm at in Michigan, is Inga. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Yes, New Orleans, you could say. It's pretty cold. No, we're having a beautiful sunny day here. And yes, I'm very happy to be on your show.
So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been doing the Akashic record reading, those kind of things?
Well, actually, the Akashic record readings for me are fairly new. I started it last year because I felt that what I was doing in terms of healing, and I did study several things, but it kind of never got deep enough, if you know what I mean, because mm-hmm. there was always something, some depth that was lacking. I studied Reiki and, you know, some hands-on healing modalities, and I felt that was not quite taking me where I had wanted to. So I actually started doing Akashic Records, I think it's about a year ago, last spring. So that part is fairly new.
And what have you learned by including this as part of what you do with people? How has that benefited people?
Well, that totally changed my life, actually, and the perception of, you know, also how I see the life of others. I think the greatest benefit has really been, you know, seeing what happens in life from the perspective of the soul. And, you know, having worked in the healing field a little bit and having been on my own healing journey for, you know, several years, maybe 5 years or even more, I feel that seeing this from the perspective of the soul, so the Akashic Records, the way the way I learned to do it, you really go into the soul history in order to see how it connects with the present life issues. And it did seem that, you know, it was kind of a holographic universe that was unfolding, because some of the issues that we struggle with for many lifetimes, they are also obviously the issues that we struggle with now, and really our soul has been wanting to heal it for a very, very long time. So I feel that was, you know, that was a very helpful revelation, if you wish, to just bring it all together in one piece and see the whole, like all of the domino bricks falling down, mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's going to the root of the problem, really, from my perspective, seeing that it's a soul-level issue, and it's really originally something that we had wanted to heal in the world, perhaps, but got stuck in it or had taken on too much work, and it just never, you know, we kept dragging the same problem over and over again.
You know what I think a lot of us, Inga, have done, though, because I'll admit to this, we procrastinate. You know, we go, well, I'll get back to fixing that life, but you know, there's a football game on the tube, or I'm watching this, or I'm distracted by it. So we have a lot of distractions, and that also seems to keep us from moving forward, especially in this day and age with all the technology. Maybe 100 years ago, before we had televisions and radios and all these other things, we didn't have those distractions, but then we worked all the time, and we didn't maybe have time to focus on going inward. So there's got to be more of a balance, don't you think, made with all of us?
Excuse me. I do, yes, and I do agree about the distractions. And when you were saying, you know, in the past, yes, people did work a lot, but I was also thinking in terms of intellectual work or reading or, you know, doing, like I have two master's degrees from before, but actually I feel sometimes it really hampers my spiritual life, because thinking too much, it doesn't leave you so much, you know, capacity for thinking about other things. Whereas if you toil the earth, you can actually think your spiritual thoughts and keep doing that. So, you know, desert fathers would just do their manual labor because it helps them both stay active and maintain spirituality. So in terms of internet distractions and, you know, all the numerous information that's being thrown around us, it can be, I guess, a bit problematic. So it's just another tool for procrastinating. So
yeah, it's part of that, too. And I think I mentioned a little bit in the email, too. Isn't it now really a lot better time to try to move forward with healing these things? Because aren't we entering a different time? Do you feel that as well, Inga?
I do. I definitely do. I mean, the acceleration and the energy shifts have been crazy. I do remember when I was actually getting trained for my Reiki, the teacher said that, you know, when all of these modalities came out, say even Reiki in the beginning, it was highly unusual for a person to feel something, you know, to actually feel the energy moving or to feel, I don't know, another person's issues. Now almost everyone does that. And even seeing the lives of my friends in the past couple of years, so many have, you know, revalued their spirituality and went on a completely different spiritual path with so much more power and independence. And just seeing those things, but at the same time, there is a huge backlash, right, from the masculine templates and so on. So we do live in very transformational times. But it's also... It's very chaotic, right? But it feels like wherever there is chaos, there is also a possibility for change. We can look at this from both directions, like it's total chaos and, oh my gosh, you know, what am I doing here? But also the other perspective is really we live in times like perhaps no other on the planet, because so much is being downloaded. We're really accessing other dimensions so much easier than our ancestors could. I believe that.
And is that, Inga, does that have something to do with the way other energies are coming to the planet within the solar system and within the universe? Is that affected by that, or is there much more going on that we're not aware of?
I do think, well, I'm not a big theorist. I do have to tell you, I'm not a huge theorist in terms of that. I do think that from my perspective, yes, definitely other energies coming in. From my perspective, it's more like a progression in Earth history, that it was a certain time where I guess the divine or the unmanifest was hidden, and now it's coming to light. Mm-hmm. And some people call it the rise of the feminine, you know, the divine feminine that mm-hmm. was hidden and is now rising. I do tend to view it in these terms, that it's actually almost the intended progression, that it was supposed, you know, like, let's say in commas, supposed to be like that. At least that's how the universe intended it to be, that we did have to go through some darker times being disconnected more from the source, but now we get to clear that, and, you know, as a humanity as a whole, we can experience so much more of light. So that's my perspective. I guess I'm not big on details and, you know, how many angels you can put on a needle.
Right. So I do
view it maybe from, I was inspired a lot by the Kabbalistic thought, so I guess that's where my perspective comes from a little bit.
Okay.
In terms of those cycles in history and the rise of the spirit. But I do believe that we all are witnessing the rise of the divine feminine, that we are more connecting, I guess, connecting more deeply to the feminine aspect, the goddess energy, if you wish.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that, and that has to do with many things, you know, the spirituality, the hidden, the darkness, even accepting our own darkness and releasing it. And I feel that's also part of the work that I'm doing.
And doesn't it all serve a purpose, don't you think, too, when, you know, you talked about darkness and there are energies that maybe some people might think are aligned with that, but it's really all serving a purpose because we wanted, didn't we, it's almost like we wanted to experience duality and separation, and now we're kind of returning back to that. So everything really has served a purpose, but now, from what I'm getting from your site, you're saying that we can kind of fast forward through a lot of that, can't we?
Yes, I think it's amazing that you said about duality and separation, because I feel that's a huge part of that. It's exactly as you said, that we're going more fully towards union, and that means bringing together the opposites. And, you know, by union, I mean really like cosmic union, you know, of everything, really, that we're going more fully into that oneness where really within ourselves and in the world. And you can even see in terms of, let's say, world religions have become, on one side, okay, you can have the negative aspect, but from the positive side, so many more people are wanting to come together and learn about each other and experience this oneness while being who they are. And then people don't really follow the religions anymore and experience oneness with the spirits, you know, one-on-one without need from mediators. And I feel that's really a part of that. We're going into this different paradigm, really, of more union within ourselves and with everything and with the divine. And yeah, that's part of the, and I guess, you know, you've heard about twin flames, and I feel that's a big part of the story as well.
The twin flames, as far as people meaning like their other half, is that what you're saying?
Well,
when I hear the well, that tells me she's going, not exactly. But see, here's my viewpoint on understanding twin flames. We are created from source, God, whatever you want to call it. God is both feminine and masculine. How can he, she not be, right? And so if we are aspects of that, then we have to be the same. And in order to be in a physical body, or maybe even before then, I don't know exactly, we split into two. So we could experience it from two different aspects. And this is just merely what the recognition, when we recognize coming together with the twin flame, it's merely recognizing our other self. And also, you know, a lot of people have been telling me, and I've been reading this and experiencing these things, that a lot of twin flames are coming together now. They may not be in relationships, but they're coming together because they know, like you said, there's a great change, and they've kind of signed up to help this come forward. That's where I'm at on that. Now, how do you feel about all that?
Yes, I do agree with that, and I totally agree that this is exactly how it happened. I guess the reason I reacted to the other half is because sometimes people tend to over-romanticize it, and it's not that simple. It can be a romantic relationship, but that was not the purpose. I agree with you. It's exactly as you said. It's part of the, you know, part of the larger process that is happening and really bringing forward this universal union, if you wish. And I feel twin flames are part of that. That's why so many are waking up and realizing that they may indeed have a twin flame. But the purpose is first and foremost spiritual one, and I guess this might be the trailblazers of twin flames, some of whom are doing incredibly hard work because of the places and the you know, the circumstances where they chose to incarnate. So they clear as much as they are physically able, but it may not even mean full union because of all of the environments and the horrible templates that they may be carrying from, you know, from their countries, from their ancestries. So it's a huge job. So I think I do have clients who are twin flames, who are genuine twin flames, or some who are curious. And some of them fully understand that they are on a very challenging path and just want healing and some assistance. And I think some have been, because we do tend to, I mean, it's normal. We have had this relationship paradigm, which is not working anyway, looking around us. But I think over-romanticizing, it doesn't help because it just sets us up for this horrible feeling of defeat that it's not working according to mm-hmm. what I know about relationships, but it's really not supposed to because it's not even, you know, right? We have to build our own path as we're going in so many ways. So I think looking at it from the old paradigm, the white picket fence and five children, it may not really be helpful. Yeah, so that's why I'm very cautious when I discuss the twin flames, but it's also a crucial part of the ascension and you know the type of spirituality that we are discussing. So yeah, that's at least that's my perspective.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I've been picking up on, and what I believe is experiencing, and what I've witnessed many other people are talking about. And there's always a higher purpose, really. We think, oh, it's to come here, like you say, and have the white picket fence and have the babies. I don't know why you came up with five, but that's a good number. And then you know, because it's like two and a half for most people, I think. But when you see beyond that you realize, first of all, everything is love to begin with. And so universal love, it goes everywhere. It's in all things. And that's really kind of what we're all connected to. And it's for the people maybe that have this twin flame relationship that is off again, on again, and they feel this incredible love and this connection. If you know in your heart that that's the strongest connection you're going to have with another being, that should be plenty, you know? Although it's not easy when you're in a physical body, but you know you're always going to have that connection, just like you have with everybody, but it's especially going to be deeper, don't you think, with that twin, it's the other side of you, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I agree. And it's hard, right, because it's kind of like a pendulum going back and forth, where in 5D one moment, and then we go back to the 3D and the ego another. And that's all, you know, all of us struggle with that. I'm not saying that I'm sitting here in 5D and now have a right to teach everyone how to live. I'm teaching from what I've experienced for myself, and you know, in my sessions and the work. So I kind of only work with what I personally have been going through. But of course, what happens now, I think, for most people in practice, is we do have this 5D connection, or the realization, or the union, whether it's twin flame or the divine. And of course, we get back to the 3D and the separation, and suddenly we don't feel, right? We don't feel God. We don't feel loved by our twin or our soul connection, or something terrible happens. And so we go a little bit back and forth. And I think that's really part of the work, really. That's the most important work that we can ever do, because we're bringing it together. We're bringing the let's say the 5D world into our reality, and that's how the ascension works.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I didn't know where you were on that, because some people think that we're kind of moving towards 5D. The Earth itself, would you say the Earth itself is going from a 3D to a 5D?
I would say so, yes. I think we are in the process, and what's coming is we probably don't really know yet, because we've never experienced it, right? Not in our physical body, at least. So we are in a little bit of a change paradigm. And I guess, you know, 5 years from now, we would probably be having a very different conversation, and we would know so much more about what is to come. And I feel at the moment we're shifting so much, also in our physical bodies. So I feel we are going up, but right now we're in between, so we get glimpses of a higher reality, and we get them so much more fully than we could, like, I think, even 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know what I was going to say? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I just said, so it's real. Yeah, that was that was it.
Now, with the Akashic Records, so obviously what you're doing, if we can't, let's say, here's what I've kind of heard, and I don't know how you feel about this. We can't move forward until we clear all this stuff. If we are meant to move into the fifth dimension, which I think we literally, our body is going to change and the earth is, it's hard to put into words because, like you say, we don't know. But I believe that that's kind of what's going on. The earth is changing. We're seeing that. It's becoming a higher vibration. And we have the opportunity to go with that. And so in order to get to that, and I don't know what's going to happen to us if we don't. Well, maybe there'll be two worlds, some people are suggesting. But what I'm saying also is that if we want to get to that, it's very, I don't want to say important, but it would really help to clear whatever we're hanging on to. And that's why when I saw your website, I thought, bingo, this really rings true to me because I really feel I'm going through this right now, you know, clearing things. And how do we get rid of those things from previous lifetimes, which we don't even realize?
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, that's why I felt, I think that's exactly why I felt that everything I did before wasn't quite cutting it until I got to clearing in the Akashic Records. Because, I mean, there were parts, and of course I was always a spiritual person, and I felt that I was having a deep connection to the divine and so on. But something, yes, and I think that's exactly the part that you mentioned, that in order to go higher up, we do have to go to the basement and clear it. But it doesn't really have to be so difficult as to go through those long, you know, dark nights of the soul and years of torture and tears. And so it can be done easier, even though it's an ongoing work. But I do believe, so the way I work in the Akashic Records, I do ask specific questions to which I receive answers, and then during my sessions I get a lot of intuitive information as well in terms of how, you know, what kinds of blockages the client is experiencing, and sometimes the causes don't matter, sometimes they do. Sometimes it's actually important to say, okay, you've had many, many past lives as a healer, and let's say you were killed in many of them, so now you're terrified of being in your power. Because, you know, your soul thinks that, well, everyone's going to be after me again. I'm going to get killed. So I better sit in my mother's basement and go.
Play video games. Play video games, is what you're saying, yeah.
Yes. Play video games, work in a coffee shop, sit in my mother's basement. I won't do anything. And imagine you've been a very, very powerful healer. People have been streaming to you in many of your past lives. And here you are sitting now. But there is no judgment in that, because it's understandable. But on the other hand, there is some part of your soul that is not happy, that knows that this is not what you came here for, to sit right and play video games. So, yeah.
And like you said, in the past, there would have been a time where it would have been a lot more difficult. But because so much light and love is coming to the planet now, we can accelerate things a lot quicker. Do you think we can blow through karma, too? Do you think that's something we can blow right off?
I do believe that these are times of great grace that we are experiencing now. So grace that is available to us now is actually because of the transformational times that we live through, that we're going through. I do believe that we can clear some of the karma now as well. If it's for everybody's highest good, it just feels that in terms of the transformational times and what the planet is going through, there is so much more love and grace and power available to us that we can clear some of the karma that we've been struggling with for many lifetimes. And sometimes it comes in our lives that we have to clear the karma that we have had with people. This is getting so accelerated that sometimes we have to go through those dark times, which is basically clearing up our karma or whatever we have accumulated in previous lifetimes. So I do feel that, however, that is possible in these times. And several of my teachers have indicated that as well, that, you know, there is so much grace available now that we can clear.
We can move on a lot quicker. Here's what it says on Inga's website. She's here to connect you with your soul through the Akashic Records and help you answer questions about your soul, your mission, and purpose, which is certainly a good thing. Assist with healing past lives and soul-level trauma. Release soul contracts that no longer serve you. That's even a better thing as far as I'm concerned. It's nice to, it would be nice to know that I was Cleopatra, Inga. But I really, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But it would be nice to realize that I can let go of some things, because let's say we try to use the law of attraction to bring things to us, and then we scratch our head and say, well, why is this not happening? And I think part of it is due to things that we're holding on to, like you said. And we all are meant, in my perspective, to live in abundance. And I believe there will be a day when we will be ultimate beings and we will be able to create in a moment, whatever we desire, like Jesus and others have done that came here. And we just haven't allowed ourselves to be that, to become that. And this is, to me, what we're kind of working towards.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I agree with you. I agree there is enough for everybody. There is so much abundance that we don't even know, because we have never wanted to realize. And I personally have had to struggle a lot with that, coming from a mentality of lack, or, you know, everything's going to be taken away, or it's never enough, so I have to work 3 shifts just to survive, because that's how it works. It cannot work any other way. So it's really, I guess some of us struggle more with it than others, but I do believe there is enough for everybody. And abundance, it's really, it's a flow, right? It's happiness, it's joy, it's connection, it's just being in that bliss. So I guess even our perception of abundance, sometimes I guess maybe some of us don't even know what it feels like, what it's like.
Well, we must have had moments, I would say many people have had moments of pure joy and bliss. I would hope that at least once in everybody's life you've had that moment. And then if you noticed in that moment maybe how things just kind of came together, or maybe you put a thought out there and something came your way, or it happened the way you thought it should. And it seems like when we're in those moments, but there's still sometimes you can be the most, oh, I'm a positive person and I believe in, and I hear people say that all the time, and then horrible things happen. Well, somewhere inside them, there's something that's drawing that in. And it could be part of their soul contract, but it also could be something they're hanging on to. And this is where you come in, because that's what you really try to do with people, isn't it?
Yes, I do agree with you completely. Yes, because, I mean, no matter how much we try to clear, there are parts of us that resist it. You know, you can clear until the cows come home and then nothing happens. There is another aspect to that, however. We do clear, we come to abundance, like even say with the law of attraction, and you can say I'm a very positive person and everything is going to be fine. And then what happens next? The parts of us that resist it, the parts of us that need healing, the parts of us that say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve this good, they come up the next moment, and that's when the horrible things happen. That's really, I guess from that perspective, you could say that's really our soul shouting out for healing, because we want to heal. But these parts will not receive the abundance, so they come up next, and they go on strike and say, no, never, right? And now I'm going to lose everything, my house is going to go up in flames, whatnot. And that's what really happens, so I guess you could look at it from different perspectives, but I think it's really helpful to see this as really your soul shouting out for healing, so it's an opportunity to go deeper and to check, well, which parts of me are blocking this abundance? What do I need to heal? And sometimes it takes time to go through these things, but I feel that's the dynamics. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. Makes total sense to me. And then here's another thing that I've heard, Inga, and I don't know if you work with this as well or have heard But not only do we have to worry, not worry, I don't worry about anything. I'm happy with all of it. But not only do we have like some baggage from past lifetimes and earlier in our lifetime this time around, but there's also other levels, other existences that we're in, multi-layered dimensions. And if they're having issues, if TJ is in another dimensional existence or Inga, and they have some issues, then we can't move forward as a whole until kind of all of us get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that something you said?
Yes, I have. I do believe it's possible. I don't quite, you know, work with that on a very deep basis. I haven't met myself from other dimensions. I do believe that not all of our souls are present in our physical body, right? That the certain part incarnates to experience things. But that's, I guess that's a very long and technical, you know, journey to go into the details of that. I agree with you. I do think that we, to make it simple, really, I do believe that a lot is available to us in terms of asking and receiving. What I mean is, you know, in my work, I really am asking the spirit to clear things and to heal the parts of my soul, the parts of my client's souls, and so on. So to heal all the parts of our souls that are stuck in dark places, that are, I don't know, the soul fragments that have been disconnected and so on. And it does work. Sometimes people experience incredible release because some parts of us can be stuck in a, you know, very, very deep, dark experience where even tiny morsels of light are, you know, experienced as the greatest sunshine we would ever get. And these are those parts that obviously think that I'm not worthy of light and, you know, I will never get to experience sunshine again. And by sunshine, I mean that same abundant spirit and connection. So I do believe that it's possible to heal those multiple existences. Although I don't, in my work, I don't really go into parallel lives. I feel that that's a little bit too complicated.
Well, that would take you eternity, even though time doesn't exist, to try to go into my multi-dimensional lives, because they say it's many, 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 many lives. TJ's good on Earth, but in some other biosphere, he's not doing so well. So now we got to go talk to him. And while you're talking to TJ in the other biosphere, the one on Earth starts getting in trouble, and oh, here you go, he's got to cleanse again. He's got to start all over. So I don't really worry about that too much, but it does make sense to me that some of those things could be holding us back. And mainly, if we can release a lot of the stuff from the past, not just our past here, but our past life. Now, you help connect people with the I Am Presence. Can you tell us what that is a little bit?
The creator, yes. I do believe, well, I do call God, right? But I do understand that people call the spirit the unmanifest, you know, in many, many different ways. And it doesn't really matter to me, however you call it. What I do is, so in my work, we really try to do that through visualizations or meditations, like really, you know, connecting with the source or connecting with your soul. For some people, it comes more naturally than for others. Maybe those who have had, you know, mystical or religious experiences before know very well what spirit feels like. Whereas some have really been disconnected and are longing and have been longing for a very long time, and that's where those blockages come in. So I think the more fully we clear, the more fully we can experience the Creator. To me, it's really a flow of love and acceptance. And I guess it's very hard to put into words the experience of being present. It's like being in a space where everything just is, and it's not even a space or a time. It's just the experience of everything in one, and suddenly you understand that all is one and that there are really no mistakes and there are no wrong paths. it's quite unique, and it's very difficult to then put back into the 3D and, you know, classify or put into neat little boxes because you can't. But the presence is really where you become one with the universe. And at the same time, I do personally believe in a creator that is separate from me, right, and from universe, and yet expresses him and herself through all of us. But it's a beautiful experience, a beautiful connection, and I can certainly grow much more in that, because there are always, and, you know, having a religious background, there were parts of me that were terrified of God and thought it was a horrible being chasing me with a stick for everything I did wrong.
Right. And when did you change your opinion on that?
It was a long process. I guess it started 6 years ago, actually, when I met my twin flame. So that process going. And through doing my clearing work, I think the seeds of it really were sown at accepting my own darkness and the things that I was maybe ashamed of or didn't want to talk about. And suddenly I was drawn to accepting them and loving them. And as those things were disappearing, literally, because I accepted all of me, right? That process when I really said, okay, I will not be separate from any part of me. And those parts started to get integrated, and I felt lighter and more connected. And that's also when my perception of the divinity started shifting, because suddenly I realized that, you know, that it's all a part of the work that I was really doing. And it wasn't a judgmental God or some terrible guy up in the sky sitting there punishing everyone. So it became more accepting as well when I started integrating those parts within me. It's, you know, my connection became more accepting, and I started connecting with the Creator more fully. So now I do believe, you know, there are obviously what we reap, we sow. We can't just, you know, if we cheat, someone's going to cheat us back. We steal money, it's not going to last like that forever. There are obviously spiritual laws, but souls choose to experience things. So there's, like, you know, the more I tune into that presence, the less judgment I have for anyone or anything, really. So it's very, very...
And, you know, in my... I've had some experiences where I felt... Well, twice from, you know, my parents that passed away, and they came and visited me in very realistic visitations, you know that it's more than a dream. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I take away from those, and then also meeting a twin flame type individual, the same thing happened. This wave, I would call it a tsunami of love, pure joy, pure compassion. I can't use words to describe all of it, but to me what it is that this is the love of the universe. It is so immersing, and you just want to be a part of it. And both of my parents projected that towards me when they came to visit me. And it was just a moment that I felt that. And so you say on this very next line, so that you can be joyful, radiant being, living your life from the soul as you become less and less dependent on outer circumstances, whatever that may be. And that's exactly kind of defining how I would say the I Am presence is that joyful, energetic, radiant feeling that we have. And when we connect with that more, that's really connecting to source, is what I would say. Is that that's all we got to do, is put ourselves into that frame of mind. Do you feel that in any way? Is that what you're saying about all this?
Yes, I do. I think it's hard to put that into words, right? Because it's an experience, really tuning into that flow of love, as you said. I would totally, you know, say the same words that you were saying in terms of the flow of love, and the, you know, that's how I experience the presence as well. It's a really, it's it's just the joy and radiance of being one with the universe. At the same time, it's so hard, like once you, because it's outside time and space and dimensions, right? These types of experiences. I remember, you know, in the Christian Bible, there was this place about scripture about transfiguration on the mountain, and then whoever it was, Peter, I think, said, oh, it would have been so nice to pitch three tents, one for you and one for that other disciple and one for me, and we could all stay on this mountain forever. And then I think the text said, well, he didn't quite know what he was saying. But I feel that was exactly that experience being described. That so he tunes into the flow, the connection with the I Am, and his first reaction is, oh, let us stay. Let's pitch tents and stay in this presence forever. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't possible, right? It was just that moment, that flash of light, that foretaste of the things to come. But that's how I often felt in my earlier years, that, oh, if I could only stay, you know, maybe I can live in a monastery, or maybe I could pitch my tent here and just experience it forever. But thankfully, I feel that I guess the times are changing in that respect, too. We can have it anywhere, and, you know, we don't really need monasteries anymore.
Right, absolutely. We can feel it. Well, nature makes it easier, in my opinion. I live out in nature. I know you live in New Orleans, and maybe there's some exotic nature in New Orleans, but just being out up here in Upper Michigan, we have a lot of areas where it's deep woods, and there's nothing electronic around. And when I get out there, oh, or if I hear if there's a stream that's close by or a river, and we have two great lakes, and of course you have the Gulf down there, but don't you think bodies of water are very powerful, and maybe forests and grasses and just natural surroundings?
Yes, I agree. And for some people, it's more important than for others. I feel, you know, some of us need to connect more with nature actually to experience that source, you know, the flow. I personally love water a lot, but nature is very important, and I do think that a lot of us connect through the I Am, you know, through nature with the I Am presence, because it's nature, right? It's the creation, and it doesn't have all of this energetic noise and information going around. So it's crucial, and I definitely think that for some it's the best way of experiencing this flow and even tuning into this abundance and this energy of being present, of, you know, just being one with everything. I do love the sea. New Orleans is not quite the place for living by the sea, but yeah, it's very special, and any bodies of water are actually, water is quite unique, which is a different topic of discussion altogether.
I just want, because I know we got a little bit while left here, if somebody wanted your help, and they can contact you through your website, healingradius.com is how they can go about doing that, right?
yes, that's true. I am going to put out a little more information on my website as well. I did have some more plans for, you know, a healing series. So my website is healingradiance.com, or you can just look up Healing Radiance. I do offer Akashic Record readings and also general healing sessions in terms of, by healing, I mean, very broadly, I'm not really a medical intuitive, healing for me is more of a really connecting to the source and clearing the blockages and living in a more joyful and more cleared state. So, yeah, so my definition of healing is very broad. I'm more interested in soul level issues and clearing those.
And really, when you think about it, all healing really kind of is about that anyway. I mean, the people that do energy healing really are connecting with the higher vibration, and they're just making you aware of it. So, you know, you're opening the door for maybe more people to do a lot of self-healing in that respect. What if somebody contacts you, what process would they go through, Inga, if let's say they wanted to get an Akashic past life reading? How does that go about?
Well, I only ask for, and that's for, I think everyone who reads Akashic Records will ask for the same information. So I do ask for a full name and name at birth and the date and place of birth. And I do need that in order to ask for information in the record so that, you know, my guides and the keepers of the record, let's say, receive the most accurate information possible. Of course, the spirit knows who is who, but that's just in order for my own subconscious to work perfectly well. So I ask for this information in advance of the session. And that's all, really. The session lasts for 1 hour. I usually ask people to, if they have any specific questions or, you know, a specific line of inquiry they want me to take in the record. So I usually ask for those beforehand so that I can go there in my meditation and my preparation for the session and ask, you know, even if there are any specific messages for the client. So that's really all the information I need. I don't see this, you know, working in the Akashic Records, I don't see this as a tool for predicting the future or telling people what to do with their life. In terms of Akashic Records and the future, in case anyone was wondering, I think it works more like quantum physics, really. There are many options present, and so the future option is dependent on the choices that you make. So it's really, we can turn this around and say that a clearing in the Akashic Records helps you make better choices so that you can create a better future instead of me, you know, programming someone for the future and telling them what it's going to be like, which I think is not ethical or not for me.
And the future can take so many turns. And then, you know, some people also, I look at it kind of like this. You think we have kind of like this soul agreement before we come here, but we're given all this free will to create, and we're constantly creating while we're here. And some people think they have a contract that they have to follow, and I say no. If that's not what you want to do, then don't do it. Change the contract. You have every right to change it, I believe, and go whatever direction you choose. And I think that's the part of the free will. Now, granted, your soul is going to want to go for probably the highest thing. But if you say, you know what, I'm tired of being stuck with needles and pins, and this is what I do for a living, let's do something else. You know, you have the right to change that. We're given total free will, and it's always honored and respected.
Absolutely. Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I did actually have some people ask me, oh my goodness, have I, you know, not fulfilled my contract? What is going to happen? I feel that I failed my contract. I'm like, no, look, no. You have choice. Trust me, no one is going to punish you. But it's the conditioning, right? It's what we have been, I guess, growing up with, not just in this lifetime, but in many other lifetimes, I have to do something. Oh my gosh, fate, someone's going to chase me.
Yeah. You know, so, I think part of it too is that there are so many levels of consciousness. In my kingdom, there are many mansions. And to me, that means there are many levels of consciousness. And so even the reincarnation cycle in itself is a lower level of consciousness. And we can move beyond that. And we will eventually move beyond that. And so this is why we're caught up. Well, I did this before. And certainly there is the law of cause and effect, the universal law, but also there is great forgiveness, I think, and we just have to ask for it. And I think any being that's in spirit is already going, yeah, you're good. You know, I had this thing happen to me, and I got to believe it's part of what we're talking about here. There was a kid back in high school, well, even elementary, and he tormented the hell out of me, Inga. And he was kind of a bully verbally, not physically so much. And I didn't like this guy. And I like everybody. But there were times I liked him. But, you know, as I got out of high school, I never wanted to see him again. And he came to me 3 nights in a row. And I thought, this is really weird. This was not that long ago, about a month ago, not even. And he was actually very peaceful, and I felt kind of loving, a gentle being. And I thought, after the third time, I thought, he's got to be on the other side. Why is he doing this? And sure enough, I found out he passed in 2011. And I can almost guarantee he's coming because he felt my vibe and he's trying to set me free. And vice versa, maybe I'm setting him free as well. What would your take be on that? Am I reading that rightly, the right way, you think?
I'm totally getting chills hearing this story. Yeah, oh my gosh, it's amazing. That's beautiful. I do feel that, yes. Yes, first of all, I totally agree with you in terms of going beyond karma and reincarnation. We do choose sometimes, though, to reincarnate, even though we don't have to, in order to do something. Here, some very advanced souls do that, and many twin flames, actually, I believe. But that's an aside, I guess. I agree with you in terms of your take on your classmate, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a kid I knew from about the third grade on, and most of the time we didn't get along. And most of the time he was always picking on kids, you know, and trying to be funny at somebody else's expense. And, you know, they're just words. You know, you learn somewhere in your down the road that words can't have any power over you unless you allow them to do that. In many ways, he was probably teaching me a great lesson if I just would have realized that at the time. So I'm just I'm just happy he showed up and I just told him I loved him and we're good. Don't worry about it. There's no karmic debt. I don't want any payback. We're good. Go on. Do whatever you got to do. And who knows? Maybe he was paying me back from another time. So there's many perspectives on how that works.
That's what I would call upside down soulmate, right? Because you really, what you had was a really close connection. You were, you know, soulmates in a sense that your souls did agree to work together on these issues. So even though he was torturing you at the time, you were both teaching each other. And so I even see that this was paid somehow, you know, that you fixed the issue between you in the States, right, in your dreams. Mm-hmm. So it's quite incredible. But that's very interesting. That's one of the shifts that happened to me also when I started working in the records, that you see how souls work together, even though sometimes it seems that they're your worst enemies, but in reality they are really your soulmates, because they help you release some of the darkness and then you help them. But it can be, obviously in real life it can be quite painful, but from soul perspective, it's a job well done.
Yeah, some of the worst things that happen to us are really probably the best things, right?
Yeah, but of course, it's hard to see that.
Yeah, when you're going through it, it's hard to see it. But afterwards, like when he came and visited me, he's like, oh, okay, this is not so bad. Well, it's really a pleasure talking to you. Inga Nielsen, your last name is Nielsen, right?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and you've been doing this for a few years, and if you want to go to her website, it's healingradiance.com. She's got relationship readings, Akashic record readings, intuitive healing, just all different types of things. She does a blog, so it looks like you're really well on your way with a lot of this. You have your own journey, which is pretty amazing. Maybe we'll talk about that some other time if you want, because maybe people can gain something from that, you know?
Absolutely. It was wonderful connecting with you. Yes, I enjoyed that very much. And thank you so much for the work you're doing as well, putting all this information out into the world.
I'm always curious. I just love learning more stuff. And it's nice to just connect with somebody else and hear their take on it. Because so many people are really saying the same thing. It's so close. And I always say, well, none of us went to a metaphysical school to learn all this stuff. It's just stuff we pick up on naturally, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's stunning, right? Just what we talked about. And, right, we never met before. And we really never went to a metaphysical school together. But somehow we managed to talk about the same things and pretty much understand each other. It's incredible, yeah.
And I find that because I do this show and I talk to people all over the world and all over the country, and they're all saying a lot of the same stuff. And you and I really didn't talk beforehand, And I kind of mentioned about, you know, I thought what you were doing was really going to help us get from the third dimension to the fifth, if that's truly going on. And you didn't say anything back. I thought, well, maybe she thinks I'm a little nutty on that. I don't know. Maybe she says, that's where I jump off the ship. But the thing is, here you brought it up. And so you've come to this conclusion on your own. And so more and more people I see are realizing this. And like you mentioned, the divine feminine. Absolutely. I see that returning in a big way. And it was explained to me by some good friends of mine, which makes a lot of sense, that it was more of an agreement to allow the masculine side to run things, and then the return of the divine feminine was set to come in so we could experience things. And now we're going to move back towards balancing out. And we need both of them here, don't we?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, I agree. It was a conscious agreement. Let's say in Kabbalistic terminology, for the moon to diminish, right, so that then she could rise up and be equal with the sun, which is a metaphor of the divine feminine and divine masculine. So, yeah, totally.
Cool.
Yeah, and we definitely need both, because that's at least for now, we live in the world of polarity, I guess, but once they blend more fully together, also we will experience more union, yeah.
Well, you have a lot to say, and I look forward anytime you want to do this again. I would love to talk some more, and I'll keep in touch with you, and I'll certainly let you know how things are going. So, do you have anything else you want to add to this at all, Inga?
No. I really enjoyed talking to you, and yes, definitely, you know, whenever you're able to do this some other time, we could talk about other things. It was a great pleasure. It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, bless your heart, Inga. Thank you.
Thank you so much.